Hey, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Happy holidays. It's been an excellent year, and I owe it all to you guys for all the support. And I want to say thank you for continuing to support the podcast. It keeps me going. It's why I do what I do. I love seeing the comments. I love seeing all the questions that come my way. We got an interesting lineup for you next. Coming up next season, I'm already planning for some great guests. So stay tuned, and like I said, have a happy and safe one, and we'll see you after the new year.
Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Haunting Masters, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags and the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. Today we're going to talk a little bit about late season archery hunts here in Arizona. Talk a little bit about the Coos Rut, the Mule Deer Rut, some of the differences between the two. I got my good friend and longtime hunting buddy, Bill Babish from Let It Rip Outfitters on with us. Hopefully between the two of us, we can shed some knowledge on some of the questions that I got.
Hey, what's going on, John?
Oh, another day in the life of John Stallone. Been all over the place already this morning. Probably put 150 miles on the truck. Just running around
Damn.
taking care of stuff. Yeah, I was left the house early and been running around. You getting set
We're
up
just
for deer camp right now?
yeah, we're just getting everything set up for these rifle coos hunts. A lot of these clients, a lot of the clients didn't draw. It's so hard to draw nowadays. They drew the late November and December hunt instead of the October, November. So we're actually just now getting started on our hunts.
Yeah. Then honestly, I feel like those hunts are even harder to get now too. Are getting harder to get.
Well, we had, I think, eight clients, and out of the eight, only two got drawn.
Yeah.
So
Man, that's
it's
rough.
kind of, yeah, it's getting rough down here. I don't know. I know a lot of guys that, this is the first time they haven't been even drawn.
Yeah.
Even
But
in Arizona,
honestly,
you know.
I mean, I know it's tough because there's a lot of people putting in now, especially coos deer is getting more and more popular, where it wasn't quite as popular of a game species. But it actually might get a little bit tougher here pretty soon. I'm supposed to have so because for like the last 7 or 8 years, Fish and Game's been managing Arizona, except for sheep, of course, and some super high trophy stuff like strip and whatnot. But they've been managing for opportunity, and I'm supposed to have a sit down with them here. They contacted me about maybe changing and going back to the way they used to be. So if I don't know if you remember, and it feels like it's been forever that it's been this way, but it really wasn't that long ago we didn't have this many tags. Like, I mean, the coos deer tags almost freaking doubled. Elk tags almost doubled. And there's a lot of units kind of hurting for it,
Yeah, I know that.
so
That's the
it's
thing. I
kind of a
think
double-edged sword there, It's like, as an outfitter, of course, I want people to, and I'm sure you're the same way. You want people to draw. So you have your clients, it's tough. It's a tough business when you're almost practically a draw only state, to get people to draw stuff and to have, like you said, you had eight people and only two people drew. It's tough. It's tough to have a
and
business
then
that way. But at the same time, you want them to have a quality experience. You want them to come here and see lots of game, shoot big shit, and it's tough,
Yeah,
But
and then if they don't draw, like I talked to a couple guys, they're like, "What do you mean we didn't draw?" Like, I'm sorry, that's just the way it goes. It's getting harder, and then they get discouraged and have to wait till next
yep.
year, and and a lot of them don't even archery hunt, so you can't. Because a lot of times, if they don't draw, I'll say, "Well, we can exchange it for an archery hunt," but if they
Right.
don't archery hunt, that ain't gonna do no good.
No.
So,
No.
but Well, we'll see what happens. It's just a lot of these. I can't even remember how many tags were 20 years ago, to tell you the truth. I know it wasn't, no, I know a lot of the southern units.
I don't think it even was. I don't even think it was 20 years ago. I want to say it was about 10, like less than 10 years ago. If you think about it, I don't ever remember seeing 600 or 700 tags in one unit. I
That's what
mean,
I was going to say. There's 800 in one unit. I mean, that's 800
yeah,
at,
that's.
you got October 800, November 800, and, you know, the late November 800. Then they dropped the late December down to, I think, 50.
Right.
That's just, I mean, it's, and then when you go out there with 800 people, it's just insane. It's not even really fun, you know?
Right. Right,
So.
exactly. Well, and you know, besides the fact that a lot of young bucks get killed that way because people get frustrated because they're not seeing the big mature bucks
Mature.
anymore because there's so many people out in the field that, you know, they the deer feel the pressure, so the big bucks are smart and, you know, go nocturnal or whatever. And
Exactly.
you know, the Game and Fish's idea for this whole, you know, that the deer herds and the elk herds weren't going to get decimated, whereas because there was more people out there, that the hunters would screw up other hunters. And I mean, that's a pretty shitty thing, one, to have to rely on the fact that, you know, that's going to happen. There's like no science behind the numbers that of tags that they're giving right now. And
Yeah.
so we'll see. I'm hoping it'll change. Like, you know, it's tough, like you said, because it's going to mean some of us aren't going to get to go hunting as often. But
No, but it'll pay off in the long run, you know.
yeah, exactly. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a better quality tag and go, you know, get a rifle tag every 3 years as opposed to getting one every year, you know,
Yeah.
for deer or whatever. You know, and I, of course, elk, you know, we're already, you're, I don't know, the units that I put in, which aren't considered trophy units, I feel like take every 5 years or so. As a resident, I feel like they're probably going to go up to the 7 year mark if they dropped tag numbers
Which
down,
is not
which is
bad.
okay still. You
Yeah.
know, I can live with that, you know, especially since I maybe it's only because I hunt out of state a lot and I don't mind traveling to go to hunt. Those who don't rely on only hunting here in Arizona, that might hurt a little bit, but in the long run, I think it's better for the elk and deer herd and give a better quality experience.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
anyway, all right, before I go down more of a rabbit hole that I don't want to get into right now, anyway, well, you've been on the show a bunch. I'm sure people know who you are, but just in case, just give a quick rundown about yourself and then,
I run Letter Up Outfitters. We do guided hunts down here in mainly southern Arizona. The coos, archery, our main thing is archery, you know, late season archery. We do mule deer and coos. We do a lot of rifle coos hunts, but we do, you know, bear and antelope and whatever, whatnot. But like I said, most of it is just late archery, so that's about it.
Right. Well, that's why we have you on to talk about, because it's like your specialty over there.
Yeah,
I
so.
basically, if you don't know this already, Bill's like, he gets to hunt maybe 5, 6 days for himself every year, and he always
Yeah, that's
manages
about
to
it.
squeak out a buck. Always
I
manages to
have
squeak out a buck for himself.
three days right now before my clients come in to try to do something, which ain't the best 3 days. It's, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but with
Yeah,
this
and everybody
colder
else and their
weather
mom
coming
would be out
in,
there.
yeah, but it's, you know, the cold weather is supposed to be in the 50s. That's gonna it's gonna help a little bit.
Yeah,
But
for
yeah, I don't
sure.
get too much time. That's the price you pay.
That's for sure. Being a guide.
Yeah,
Can't
you know
kill
now.
stuff for yourself. Yeah.
You know, to me though, it's just as much fun and rewarding, you know, to see somebody else get one too. You know, I've hunted so many years, and I've killed a lot of
Right.
deer. It's not really, it don't bug me as bad as it used to when I first started, you know, like, oh, I didn't get a deer. And now, so it's like, I'm not going to go out there and kill a 70, 80 inch buck, you know, I'm looking for something good. If I don't, oh, well, you got archery. And
Right.
you got next year, whatever, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I enjoy seeing other people succeed. I enjoy being part of it. There's still a part of me that wants to push the guy out of the way, and especially if they're having a hard time with it. I want to push him out of the way and be the trigger man myself once in a while.
Especially on the coos hunts, the rifle coos hunts, it's like,
those are frustrating as hell.
It's like, oh, if I had my tag or if I could hunt right now. Standing right there in the open, I can't see it. Well, it's just the way it goes.
Anyway. So, let's start off with, let's talk about the difference in the rut between the coos and the mule deer. Let's talk about timing wise first. Down south, you know, in the handful of units that you like to hunt, what do you typically see the start date of the rut for the coos deer, and where does it carry out to?
Well, typically it's right around, I would say around the 15th of December, but weather depending, I mean, it's supposed to be cold, like starting tomorrow, and if it rains cold for like 2 weeks, stays in the 50s, you'll see them a lot sooner starting to rut, those the coos. But typically it's right around the 15th, and I've seen them rut all the way into, you know, February.
Right.
But the 15th to the 30th or so, they're really pretty hot.
Right.
And as for the mule deer.
And what did you say, the peak is what, like that first week of January?
I'd say more at the end of December, the last week of December, first week of January. Because when we're out here doing our archery hunts in January, you know, like that first week, they're really, those coos are really going at it.
Say that first week of January, it seems pretty good on the coos. And the mule deer down south tend to be a little bit later.
Yeah, that's usually... Right? Right around the January 15th to about the 30th. I'd say right around the 17th to 20th, that's when they really, I mean, you'll see, they really go at it about that time of the month. Then again, you know, I've seen mule deer up here where the last week of December was like the best out of the whole archery hunt. You know, not very often, but it has happened where the last week of December was just insane. There was bucks everywhere, and they were rutting, and come the 15th of January, they're already almost done. So
yeah, that's crazy.
It's kind of weird for the mule deer. They kind of just do, I think they do a lot just with the weather. It just got to be cool, you know.
I feel like it's a little bit more, well, it's a bit earlier, and I feel like it's a little bit more spread out here in Central Arizona, and the timing of it, I feel like the coos and the muleys are right about the same time. Down south, I always noticed that it was a little bit, the coos always came on first. It felt like they stayed longer, too. They came on first and stayed longer.
Coos?
Over here, I feel like, here, I feel like by me that, you know, come December 26th, you know, right after Christmas, it just keeps coming on stronger and stronger and stronger right to the end of January. And then, into February, it starts fading off. Really, again, you know, peak for the both of them over here, I feel like, is that second and third week of January, right in the middle of the month. But it comes on pretty strong, pretty significant right after Christmas. And the only time I've ever seen it get really deviated is if we don't have those, if the desert isn't green, if we don't have the rains that keep the desert green. Like, so last year, the desert in December was brown, dry, and I feel like what it did was, and I had a freaking December muley rut tag, you know, and I was like, I was so pissed off because I just wasn't seeing what I normally would see. And I feel what happens is if the moisture's not there, it screws with the estrus cycle of the does. Like, not as many does come into estrus because the deer herd isn't as healthy or something. And I've talked to a couple of biologists, and a lot of people, they've agreed with me, but I don't know if any studies or anything have been done about it. So,
you know, actually, believe it or not, with all the rain that we had this last summer, it's awfully dry up here.
Yeah.
But that being said, they've killed a lot of good bucks in these last three hunts too. Seems like this year I've seen a lot more bigger bucks taken out down here than in previous years.
Really?
So it's, you know, I see a lot, there's just like tumbleweed that you never see out here. It's pretty dry, but the ponds are full. But it's okay. It's really brown.
Here in Central, the desert's not very brown at all. It's very green. There's a lot of green up, a lot of grass underneath all the trees, and I'm hoping that we get those December rains that we usually do, and it just keeps on going well, and the rut will be strong. But so
like you said, the coos, they typically, they seem to rut a lot longer than mule deer. Mule deer, you only get about, a week, maybe 2 weeks at the most at the, peak. These coos, you see them, the coos, you'll start seeing them right, in the middle of December, and they just go all the way through January. It's just a weird deal.
And
plus,
I think
the mule deer
behavior thing.
Yeah.
Because the mule deer are like a herd, they gather up a harem where a whitetail will only pick one doe out at a time.
That's what I was just going to say.
I feel like that's what the reason is for that. Like, a muley buck will be breeding like 3-4 does at the same, in the same couple of days.
And
the whitetail have like one doe at a time. Yeah.
And he'll stay with that doe for, a couple of days too. Mule deer can breed the one and maybe two, and then it's crazy.
Off to another. They'll go 4 miles and hit another group.
I've seen them, like I said on our last podcast, I've seen them go from, I think it's 22 miles in 3 days.
Yeah.
I've seen them down. Yeah. They migrate so much.
I remember one year seeing a buck down by the border. I was hunting 1 week, and then I came back a week and a half later, and he was clear on the north end of the unit. So I don't know. I went out saying units and areas. So from the border, I'm going to say that's probably about 30 miles.
It is. And that, I seen a buck down here. It's been a couple of years ago. We called him Moose because he was like all palmated on one side, a mule deer.
Uh-huh.
And 3 days later, we were on the border. Right on the border. And we were pulled in there, and we got up on the hill, started glassing, and that buck was down there. And that's 26 miles in 2 days.
Yeah, that's
2 days. And then not only that, about 2 or 3 days later, he was back down on the north end, just going back and forth. And, on the coos, that's what I feel is so much easier with coos, because they just stay in that general area, They don't.
Yeah.
You'll see a good coos buck, and he's going to be within a mile, usually within a mile radius.
Yeah, they usually don't go quite far. I have seen them change. Matter of fact, my guys just took Paul's kids out, and a buck that we were looking at in the early season was about 4 miles or 4.5 miles away, and they ended up shooting him here in October, but that was from September, August, September season to To the first rifle, or to the second rifle.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
So,
they'll
once in a
they're gonna
while
push
I see
it
it
a lot
happen,
more.
but not, I don't see it as quite as often.
Well,
So,
this season
and
it's
I think part of that has to do with density, you know, like how much deer are in, you know, you find like coos deer are in one pocket where, you know, mule deer kind of have this big roaming. So,
Yeah. You're right though. I mean, the coos will, especially what we've already had. What this is the third rifle hunt. They're going to be, moving a lot more than a lot farther than they usually do. But they'll still be, they just don't move as much, I should say. They're there, but they stay tuckered down. They're not really moving around. That's the deal. Everybody's like, oh, there ain't no deer there. I had a buck here in the first hunt, and he's not there no more. No, he's there. He's
Yeah,
just
he's
not
just not
moving.
getting up. He's just
He's
laying in
under a
the same
bush
spot.
somewhere. Yep.
He's
That's
getting
what
up
it's.
for an hour a day in light, half an hour in the morning, half an hour and you know, before dark, and going 5 feet to eat and pissing and
Yeah.
shitting in the same bed all day and night.
I'm telling
So.
you, it's crazy. I seen a buck. I don't know, it was probably 2 years ago that someone shot, and I watched the buck because I was up glassing, and I watched him run, 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 and he passed this bush, and it was just like one of those, I don't know what they're like, a catclaw bush. He ran past it, he turned around, went back to that bush, and I swear he backed in there with his ass in first, like a doghouse, and crawled up in there, and those hunters went right past him. It was just unbelievable. I mean, he ran past it, looked back, like, oh, there's a bush, and he crawled up in there and never moved. And they walked
That's
right by him.
crazy.
It was pretty crazy the things that they do. It's just a little hole and they crawled right in there like a covey of quail,
I've actually seen them. Have you ever seen them watch them glassing? I think you and I talked about this one time, but
Oh,
a
crawling on
guy
their bellies?
crawling on their bellies.
Yeah,
Freaking crazy.
you'll see
I've
the,
ne I've
especially
never
the,
seen a mule deer do that.
no, not at all.
No, coos
But
deer are special something. So let me. What is some thing, well, let me back up. What kind of areas are you looking for once these later seasons come in to find coos bucks? And you just, I mean, you said earlier that they kind of tend to stay in around the same area, but from the early season to the late season, what are some of the things that change?
Hey guys, just a real quick break. Pardon the interruption. I want to talk to you about becoming a patron of the show. It's super easy. You just go to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters on my Podbean account, and at the top right-hand corner, you'll see a green button that says "Become a Patron." Or if you're using the Podbean app, it's right there. Just click on the button, "Become a Patron," from any of the episodes. I really go out of my way not to bombard you with a bunch of ads and clutter up the, you know, clutter up the episodes. I really like to keep it as educational and as valuable as possible. I'd like to add to that value by adding some bonus episodes that are going to be just for the patrons only. I'm going to release a few that are strictly for those of you who have contributed to the podcast. It really goes a long way, and I want to say it again that even $1 a month, pledging $1 a month, $12 a year may not seem like a whole lot, but it means the world to me. It helps me take care of the cost of producing this show, and I really appreciate it, and I'd appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to this episode.
Well, when the archery starts, the rifle, you got rifle hunt, and that last rifle hunt goes till the 31st, which is archery too. But then again, you don't have as many tags. You only have 50 to 75 tags in a whole unit, so there's a lot less pressure. So a lot of those bucks have come back down from where they were, or come back up from the bottoms or whatever. and they'll start relaxing and going after those does. So it's not as hard as what the rifle hunts are, because once you got everybody shooting those, like you said, those bucks don't even move. And once that late archery season starts, you start seeing these bucks move, and then the rut kicks in, and you'll see them a lot more. So what you really just, there's nothing really to look for. You just kind of look at the same spot. They'll, like you said, they'll right now you'll see them in the morning for probably 45 minutes as soon as that sun comes up, if you're lucky. And then they go right straight down to the washes or find a pocket and just stay there all day until 30 minutes before dark. And you'll kind of get a glimpse of them out there, and where you don't have no time to make a move on them. And once, you know, and that's just because of all the pressure. But once that, all these rifle hunts get done, it only takes about 2 weeks, and those, you know, they know when the vehicles don't come in.
Oh, yeah.
Know it's time. Yeah, so they'll start moving around a lot more. And what we do a lot of spot and stalk on the coos, but actually for our archery hunts, we try to, you know, sit ponds if the weather's right. You know, like
really
last January. Yeah, last January it was pretty warm, and the ponds were just, it was, that was the best way to kill the coos. Spot and stalk, a lot of people, clients, they'll try it, but you know how it is, and I know how it is. You tell them it's pretty hard, and they'll try it for a couple of days, and they'll be like, okay, let's go sit a pond.
Yeah,
it's a lot, because they go, you know, once
you know it's hard. I know it's hard.
Yeah.
Do you like sitting ponds? I don't like sitting ponds.
No. I'll sit there for, I think I'm sitting there for hours, and it's only been like 30 minutes.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't know what it is. But it's probably because the amount of game you see, but I could sit in a tree stand back east for 15 freaking hours and be okay. I can't sit for 3 hours in a damn ground blind on a pond over here to save my life. I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like it's, here's the difference. I guess if I have a trail camera on that pond and it's showing me a crap ton of deer coming, you know, all times of day, I can do it. Because then there's something to look forward to. But for some reason, like if I'm going to just go blindly sit a pond that I know just, you know, has a lot of sign on it, or if just in years past has had deer come to a bunch, I don't know. I just have such a hard time doing it.
I had a big buck, a big coos come in, probably, I don't know, he's over 100. And I sat a tree stand on this buck for, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. And I sat for 4 or 5 hours. And that's not me. But I wanted this buck so bad. But he would just not, he'd come in to the bank, and he would just never commit to the water. And the one time he did, he came up underneath me. I mean, like right underneath me, and that was the closest he ever came, and I had no shot.
That's rough.
Yeah, and you can't really, I've had a camera on a pond since August, the end of August, first of September, which always produces good bucks. I mean, it's always has a lot of coos on there, and believe it or not, I pulled that camera last week and there wasn't one buck on there from September with all these rifle hunts going on. Yeah, and that's why I have no clue. You can go now this other, you go not even half a mile down, pond full of water, and it's getting hit like crazy.
Sure.
It's just kind of a weird deal.
Got to be access or something to it. That's some, maybe there's a lion hit it. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't even have a lion. That's what I thought too, but it wasn't even a lion on camera. But I know that there's a lion up here that actually on the last hunt, the guy seen, actually killed a deer while they were up there glassing. So
really?
Yeah, I mean, that's another
thing. There's always lions where you hunt over there, man. That place is always chock full.
They are, and every time we see them.
Well, that's because there's a lot of deer there, though.
Yeah.
That's why there's lions.
I never have a damn gun. I always see them with clients. I never see them when I'm on my hunt.
Yeah, right?
So, yeah, and it's,
I know.
Seeing them archery hunting, but trying to get one with a bow, you know, when you're spot and stalking, doesn't work very well.
Yeah. I have that same problem. But, well, one of these days I'll be able to. I mean, I've shot lines, but I'll be able to capitalize on one like that. I want to call one in. I don't know. Did you see Shane called one
Yeah,
in
I
last
did.
week?
Yeah, I did. And got him a
That's a
shotgun.
second one in 2 years, man.
Lucky.
That's crazy.
Yeah, people
He's
don't even
lucky SOB.
Yeah. Some people don't even see him in a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, I know. I know guys that have been hunting for years and years and years and never seen one.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a few down here. So
I feel like I see at least two or three every year, at least in the last 10 years.
Yeah, if you spend
but
like if you
I haven't seen one actually
here,
I haven't seen one this year.
No? Well, yeah, but you haven't really been out of state.
I haven't really been I've been out of state a lot, yeah. I haven't done
much
if here.
If you stay here from October, you know, when the first hunts start, all the way
mm-hmm.
through, I think last year I seen 7 lines last year.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were all different ones. Actually, Anthony and John we seen the lion and three cubs. I think it was last year.
Oh yeah.
On one of the rifle hunts. But
nice.
And that's a big problem too. You know, those coos, they'll totally get out of that area. They'll
yeah.
be that's one time they'll move, and they'll be 2 miles away. If you got a cat roaming around in there.
Let's switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about when you're spotting stalking the coos, you know, obviously other than, you know, picking a good route, keeping the wind and being quiet as all hell, what are some of the things that you're telling clients? And maybe what are some of the like behavioral things about coos that kind of like can help you? Like, let me give you an example. So last time I had you on, we were talking about mule deer. You said when they bust, they almost bust and always make a circle to the right. You know, are there things about coos deer that guys should know that might help them, you know, score a buck?
Well, that's, you know, coos are so much, they're not nothing like mule deer. Coos, you're busted, they're gone. So what we do is when we do spot and stalk with clients, I mean, I've done it myself, is so we try to get in with, I don't know, as close as you possibly can without him even having an idea you're there. And then pretty
right.
much we kind of just, you know, as long as you're downwind and everything, kind of just sit, find a spot, get tucked in and sit up there within the range and kind of hope that he's going to get up and come your way.
Right.
Or another way we do it is if we can get up and go around and come up when we're on top of them, that's your best way to kill a coos, I think, is come up on top to where they're down below you.
Right.
That seems to work the best. Going up to them, like if you're going up the mountain, going straight at them, that's almost impossible. For one, the angles of the, you know, the mountains, can't even see them. But if you can get up and around, go around the mountain and come up over the top, you know, because they're always facing, usually down the, you know, facing downhill with the wind. So,
right.
But trying to get in as close as you can without getting busted and just kind of hold up and wait and hope that he, you know, if you're watching that buck, you know, you watch him, I don't know, for weeks or whatever, and that buck's coming, say it's in the evening, and you get up on top and you know that buck's going to head east. If you can get up there and get above him and be 100 yards from him on the east side of him, it generally works.
Yeah.
But I would not.
Like a spot,
I would not,
spot in ambush.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't.
That's
don't really
kind of the
see.
Way I. The only times I've ever been personally successful on coos deer is that way. I've had purely stalked into them several times and had shot opportunities. I blew one couple years ago with Shane actually down there, but it doesn't happen often. So I agree with you. I feel like that spot and ambush is like that's like the best way to go for those. Just get in there, get into that like 100 yard mark, and get to a spot where you got some good shooting lanes, and
And just hope,
yeah.
Hopefully comes that way or
I try to
within
set guys up, try to talk them into, the side that they're most likely going to walk to, based on the wind or feed or cover or whatever, or if that there's some does, to the right of them, a couple hundred yards that he hasn't caught a whiff of yet or whatever. Kind of get in between him and the does. I find that kind of worked for me a couple of times to create opportunities.
Right.
That works for mule deer too. I've noticed like if you find a buck that's cruising, get a guy or talk a guy into real tight on the does and kind of, cut the buck off to the does, so to speak.
Yeah, get in the middle.
Yeah, back in the day when they were making that the buck bomb, the muley bomb,
mm-hmm.
I killed a buck myself, and I created several opportunities for other people this way. I got in between the does and the buck, so and I sprayed that buck bomb, and he came, practically flying in. Because he caught a whiff. He knew there was does over there, but he must have like scent checked them or something, or scent checked them from afar and none of them were hot. And then I introduced that estrus, and he was like, oh shit, there is a hot doe over there, I gotta go find that one, and that worked for me. That's worked for me a couple times. I have I've had success calling them in too, but I don't like to get into that too much because everybody does it the wrong way and screws it up for everybody else. So, but rattling, I find that rattling works pretty good for coos bucks too.
Especially, it does.
Not as much down there as it does in the central spot, central area for some reason. And maybe it's just because of the vegetation, but I found that I tried it in 23 a few years back. And we were in some Gamble Oak type country, and it was a little dink buck, and I didn't shoot him, but I was like, man, that was pretty cool. Create an opportunity, that way.
I rattled.
I know guys that do it. You grunt a lot though, don't you?
Yeah, but I rattled 1 year, and I seen this buck, and I'd start rattling. And hell, he come down the hill. I'm like, holy shit, he's coming in. So I just kept rattling. It was the late December. I was archery hunting during the rifle hunt too. So I was rattling. He was coming right in, just beelining at it. And all of a sudden, somebody shot and was shooting at him. Actually, was shooting at the one behind him, which was a small buck, but chased them all off. So yeah, that it works. Actually, the rattling to me works better for coos than it does mule deer.
Oh yeah, I agree.
The mule deer are just—I don't know—they're just so much different.
Well, here's the thing. I think with mule deer, and this could be said across the country. Whenever you have a very skewed buck to doe ratio, there's a lot more does than bucks. Those bucks don't want to fight other bucks.
No.
They don't have to. When you walk into a bar and you and your three buddies are the only three dudes in the whole place and there's 150 women, there's no need to get in a fight,
Yeah.
You're not going to be fighting over women. You got more women than you know what to do with, So that's kind of the mentality.
Where I use the grunt. I use the grunt tube. In fact, that's all I do when I archery mule deer hunt is I use a grunt tube.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I use that.
You did that.
I use that quite a bit. Actually, I use it now that you mentioned it. I use it almost all the time.
Yeah.
What
do you think? Does it work to get them to come to you, or is it just a soothing thing just to let them know that there's another deer over there when they catch a little bit of movement or whatever?
Well, when I use it a lot of times. I use it to stop them, you know, if they're going towards a doe or whatever. I use it to stop them, and I haven't really sat down under a tree and just started grunting and had a buck, you know, a mule deer come in. If you can get up, you know, get it within 100 yards of them and kind of throw a couple grunts off and let them know that you're over by his does, if you can get over by his does, they'll come in. But like I said, I tried rattling mule deer, and I think it's worked maybe once, and I just kind of, it wasn't something that I do all the time. Like I said, I tried it, and it didn't work so well, so I just kind of never did it again. And I've stuck with the grunt tube, and that seems the best, works for me down here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, you know, the coos, like you were telling, the coos is just, once they're, they once your butt, even you know how it is rifle hunting, they're, mm-hmm. they're gone. You know you can't find them. They just go up over the top of the hill, and you can be 50 yards from the top of that hill and go over, and they're gone. You know, they're probably not gone. They're just somewhere where you can't see them, down in a ravine and just not in a bush. Mule deer just go out there and they bust you, and they'll go out, you know, 50 yards and stand there and look at you. Just try to you know, keep their safe distance.
And that's when you when you dial the old bow up to 150 and let one go.
No, I can't. That's too far. I try to stay under 80 yards if I can.
I know
a lot of guys that do that though. 110 yards, 100 sight their bows in at 110. Hell, I shot one in 94, and I'm like, when I was getting ready to shoot, I'm like, man, that's a long ways. That's the farthest I've ever shot at 94 yards. But I still say the easiest way to kill a coos is sit in a pond. I mean, that just seems to be...
Yeah, it's boring as shit, but if you really want to kill one. Every year, the guys that consistently kill big bucks are always killing them on water.
Exactly. And it might take...
And a lot of times... Yeah, it'll take, as I say, a lot of times you can sit there for like 4 or 5 days and not even see a bird. You know. And then
there's a couple guys I know sat a pond for, I think, 5 or 6 days and not even a doe came in. And just all of a sudden, that 6 day, a big, I think he scored 101 or something, came in and he shot it. And how the hell he sat there for 6 days not seeing nothing and did it anyway, I don't know. But
yeah, you got to have that fortitude to do that.
But I would say
that's the best. I keep telling myself I'm going to do it.
Oh, I do every year. I'm going to sit the time that I have. I'm going to sit a pond.
Sit a pond.
Jesus. Yep. Well, you've heard me say it.
No, I know. I've seen you do it too and leave after 2 hours.
Yeah. Yep. So, nothing came in.
No, but.
Well, no kidding. You only sat there 2 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, I honestly I was kind of getting away from the late season. I kind of had my heart set for like the last 3 years, and then for one reason or another, probably because I've been going to Utah or whatever in that during the August hunt, I've been wanting to kill a coos deer in velvet. I don't have a coos deer in velvet. And I really want to go sit a pond. But I don't want to deal with snakes. Yeah, I don't want to sit. I don't want to sit in the damn heat. I don't want to deal with snakes. It's like, you know, you have to get up at like 3 a.m. Just, you have to get out to your blind at like 3:30 in the morning just so you can get in there before, you know, so let everything settle down. It's just like all this shit. And it's like,
And then you're walking to your blind in the dark.
Right. If this was me 20 years ago, I'd be all over it. No problem. But now it's just become so
I got lucky because my first buck, my first archery buck was a velvet coos. So I got that out of the way. Yeah.
Nice. Not me.
That's a good time to sit ponds for coos too, is in the middle of the summer when it's hot as hell.
Yeah, because you know they got a water.
Yeah, they hit that water like crazy.
Exactly.
I would say my first
coos hunt, my first archery coos buck was actually the very first time I went hunting here in Arizona. Didn't know nothing about hunting coos deer, didn't know nothing about hunting Arizona. And I shot a little itty bitty 3-point coos buck with my bow on like the third day of hunting. And I was like, yeah, this shit's easy. I didn't kill another buck with my bow, I think, for 7 years or something like that. Another coos buck for like 7 years.
Yeah, and that, you know, a lot of people, that's the thing, you know, some people kill like little 3 points with their bow. You know, they're like, they think they're gonna, that's, you know, it's little, yeah. But you know how hard it is to kill a coos with a bow? You know, some people,
Well, that's, I mean,
they
that's
just,
why Pope and Young is 67 inches. It's not because,
yeah.
you know.
It's not the easiest thing to do. I mean, I've hardly hunted now for I don't know how many years, and I've only killed three coos. Not that I go out and really try for them, but I've
Yeah,
only
I'd
killed
say
three
you
coos.
hunt muleys a lot.
Yeah, I do. I like to
Yeah,
hard
me too.
mule, you
Three.
know.
That's what I have. Three with the
Yeah,
bow.
and that's
Yeah,
I'll see
and
big coos during these hunts and be like, when January comes, like, oh, I'm definitely gonna coos hunt this year. But then you go and see a 190, 200-inch mule deer. He's like, no, I'm not. And it always happens,
Yeah.
and I never. I need to just do it 1 year and just go get a good coos with the bow. I think my biggest one is like 87 with the bow.
I don't think mine's even
So,
that big.
oh, yeah, I think so.
I got two. Let's see, one, two. Both of those are like, one's like 40 inches. My first one. My other one's probably right about that Pope and Young 60-something. And then I got one that's like high 70s, maybe low 80s. That's it.
I had Adam Foss. I don't know if you know who he is. Adam Foss and Jason Peake down here. Yeah. Which Adam Foss is a big time. And if anybody knows him, he's bighorn. He's killed like every big sheep there is. And
Right.
he wanted a coos so bad, and he'd come down on the hunt, and he was on coos every single. I mean, I think they hunted all day long on bucks, and for 5 days, and he got close, but he never got one. And he's like, man, he goes, I do a lot of hunts. He goes, this is a lot harder than I thought it would be. But
Yeah, everybody that I've ever
yeah,
taken says the same thing. So,
he's
and then
you know
there's
he's
guys
a
that go out every year and seemingly just kill them at will, you know. But I don't know.
yeah.
I don't know. It's like crazy. Tim Gillingham came out here and he hunted like a couple of days and he killed one on the first try. A good one too, you know. But I was just like, yeah, great. You know, that's awesome. You make me feel fucking great. Yeah.
Oh.
So, but anyhow, well, cool, man. So you got two rifle hunters coming in for this
They'll be here on Monday.
late November, early December. You got
Yep.
any rifle rut hunts, and
Just
you
one
got yeah,
rifle rifle.
just one?
Yeah, I'll be out
Okay.
here pretty much now. I'm gonna be here till the end of January because I'm booked the whole month. Actually, I do have a week open in January again. Had another cancellation or reschedule, I guess I should say.
There you go. If you guys want to kill a
I got,
good buck, give Billy a call.
yeah, the first through the fifth is the only week open, and if not, that's when I'm gonna hunt. So, but yeah, it's like I said,
I'll
it's just
probably be down by you right after Christmas. I have a friend that drew, not a client, but a friend who drew the December, late December rifle coos. So
Oh yeah,
I may or
good
may
deal.
not come and help him. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be back. I'll probably go back and I'll leave everything out here, but I'll be back on about the 26th, I guess. So
Cool.
I got that first week of the late hunt, and then an archery,
Nice.
and hopefully it'll be a. You can't really tell on these mule deer right now because there's nothing, you know. There's no mule deer here right now. It's just so
Yeah.
weird. They'll be here though.
That's
Good
crazy how
deal.
they migrate over there. All right,
I
man.
know, and
Well, cool.
it's not, and that's the thing. They're not even. You can't hardly even find one right now, and they're just everywhere. You know, come January, they just come so far
Yeah,
from
from everywhere.
everywhere. Well, good deal. Yeah, I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, man. Sounds good. Thanks for coming on and sharing some knowledge with us. If you guys want to go hunt with a master down south over there. So give Billy a call, check out Letter Rip Outfitters. He's got a week open there in January. Don't let him steal another one out of there by himself. So let him put you on that big buck.
Yeah, that if I don't get that week, that's my week to hunt. So,
There you go. All right,
all right,
bro.
John.
Well, I'll talk to you soon. Hey, good luck on that buck. I hope you get that one buck this weekend and opening weekend.
Yeah, I've been watching him for almost 2 months now, so and he's still here.
Is he still there?
Yep.
You went and checked
Seen
him
him yesterday.
this morning or oh
No,
yesterday? Okay,
yesterday.
cool.
Yeah, yesterday. He's not.
Dude, man. I've been thinking about I was gonna drive and meet you halfway and give you my gun so you can
Yeah.
make that shot.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't I got my 308. I can only I'm good up to about 300. So that's okay. Get closer now with the bow, so I'm pretty sure I can do
That's true. That is true.
it. So,
Yeah.
all right, well, if you're down
All right,
in this
bro.
area, stop by.
Okay. All right.
All right,
Thank
John.
you. Okay,
All right, bye.
bye-bye.
Hey guys, want to stay connected with the podcast? Check out my blog, johnstallone.me. That's www.johnstallone.me. And you could go on there. On the top right-hand corner, there's a little subscribe box. Quickly put in an email address, hit subscribe, and boom, you're done. There's a lot of great information on there. A lot of posts that go hand in hand with the podcast that we do, plus gear reviews. Plus we have the signature t-shirts on there, the I Eat Fast Food t-shirts, and the Tuesday Coosday shirts. It's a really good way to stay connected with the podcast. And thanks for listening.